and helped J.B. lift it into place on the back of the transport wag they would be using to free Ryan, Christy, and Mildred. The armorer had fit two of the P-39's blasters with makeshift pivots and was mounting them on the front left and rear right positions of the wag's open cargo area. The two eased the blaster into position, and J.B. locked it in place with a single horizontal bolt and a cotter pin.
Short bursts. 2-3 seconds, not more.
That's right. Anything longer and you're wasting ammo.
J.B. took hold of the blaster handles he'd made from a bale of heavy-gauge steel wire he'd found on one of the loading docks and tested the movement of the gun. To his delight, it swung easily in both directions.
Should give a good range of fire. Pretty much a complete circle.
Test in morning?
J.B. nodded.
I'm sure the 50 calibers will fire without a glitch, but I'm not so sure about the cannon.
Doc had wandered up to the wag and was standing by the rear wheels, looking up at J.B. and Jack with a delighted grin on his face.
Although I'm more than 2 centuries old, I never thought I would live long enough to see the day when John Barrymore Dix was unsure about anything to do with weaponry.
Maybe Mildred Wright.
About what, Jack?
Your dream?
J.B. was silent. Being reminded about his dream sent a chill down his spine. The 50 caliber design had been tried and tested for years. The cannon was another matter entirely, since it had probably had a few reliability problems during its lifetime, even when it was new. He'd done everything he could to make sure it was working properly, but there was still a chance it could fail when they needed it most. But while the armorer had some reservations about the cannon, Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner had none whatsoever.
Of course a cannon will fire, John Barrymore. Not only will it will fire magnificently, stupendously. It will cut a swath of destruction through the farm, unleashing a little bit of hellfire from its angry maw with each deadly round.
Doc had his sword stick raised in the air, and although they were underground, he seemed to be standing in the path of some strange breeze that blew back his white hair and made him look like a wild-eyed doomsayer atop a mountain.
Thunder will roll. The earth will shake, and barons and Sekhmen will cower in fear at the mere sight of this infernal blaster.
There was a strange shine in Doc's eyes, and his body was beginning to shake and tremble uncontrollably. Jack signaled to Clarissa to come to Doc's aid. She came running, and when she reached Doc's side, she took his arm and led him to a nearby pile of crates where he could sit and rest, while whatever it was that was affecting him ran its course.
He'll be all right.
Not worried, Doc. Worried Ryan and others.
If I know Ryan Carter, he's probably sitting back and enjoying his time on that farm. Who knows, after we break in, he might not even want to leave.
Ryan couldn't wait to leave this place. He moved into the middle of the circle. Mog stood facing him, his body somewhat grimy, but not nearly as bloody as Ryan's.
Just you and me, One Eye. Just like I figured it would be.
Ryan had suspected as well that it might come down to the two of them, but he wasn't about to give the mountain of a man any compliments.
Really? I thought you'd have been chilled a long time ago.
Don't make me laugh. Mog always wins, and it's gonna feel good between Red's legs.
Ryan looked up at Christy. She was leaning to the side, trying to distance herself from the Baron, who was still ogling her and prattling on about the great man. Ryan looked back over at Mog. The huge thug flashed Ryan a gap-toothed smile.
If she's used to having you, One Eye, then she'll be thrilled to have a real man for a change.
She'll never have you, Stoop. I either chill you in the circle, or she'll chill you the moment you two are alone.
Mog looked up at Christy, considering Ryan's words. At that moment, Grunwald entered the circle and approached the two combatants.
If one of you wants to leave the circle now, you can do it. No shame. It's been a good show.
Nobody's walking out of the circle, Grunwald. Let's get it going.
My thoughts exactly.
Grunwald nodded and left the circle, climbing onto the stage.
Ready? Then fight!
Ryan was caught momentarily off guard by Mog, who threw a pike at Ryan as if it were a spear, the second after the Sec Chief gave the call to fight. The long weapon glanced off Ryan's body, but not before the pointed tip broke the flesh on his right shoulder and blood began to flow freely down his arm. Ryan countered by picking up the pike and throwing it out of the circle. The crowd cheered. Then Ryan gathered the rest of the weapons in the circle and threw them all out as well. The crowd continued to roar in delight. Now all that was left was Ryan's Panga, which, to everyone's surprise, he picked up and moved it outside the circle as well, laying it carefully next to the pile of his clothes.
You think you can chew me with your bare hands, One Eye?
Not with my hands, no. Ryan ran toward Mog and leapt into the air. He hit the giant in the chest with the balls of both feet. There was a loud whoosh as the air came out of Mog's chest. After delivering the kick, Ryan fell heavily to the ground, landing hard on his side. Mog stumbled backward a few steps, tripped over his own feet, and landed heavily on his ass.
Shut up, all of you! You move fast, One Eye, but is it fast enough?
Ryan didn't waste his breath answering. He had moved to the right, looking to take Mog down once more. He darted in close and tried to sweep his right leg around to take out one of the big man's giant tree trunk legs. He struck him in the calf with his foot, but the leg didn't give way. Mog reached down and managed to catch Ryan's leg in his hands. Ryan desperately tried to scramble away out of his reach, but Mog was able to reel him in, and in seconds he had his huge arms around Ryan's body and was pulling him ever closer. The one-eyed man gasped for breath as Mog began to squeeze the life out of him. Ryan struggled to free himself, but his efforts only used up more air and tightened the grip the giant had on his body. Mog continued to squeeze. Something snapped in Ryan's torso, and a lance of pain shot through his chest. And then the world seemed to be getting dark around the edges. He thought of Christy and Dean first, almost simultaneously, and after that came thoughts of JB and Doc and Jack. And then images of the chilling he'd done over the years. Trader came next, as if the man were waiting for him somewhere up the road. Lush green fields, a home that was his, and a family. Christy and Dean out on the porch of their home, looking for him. Looking, looking, but never finding. Ryan managed to get his right arm free. That freed up space for a breath, and to wriggle his left arm from the giant's vice-like grip. Now with both hands free, Ryan jabbed a finger into one of Mog's eyes. The big man turned away quickly, though, and instead of his eye, Ryan found himself trying to poke a hole through the hard bone of Mog's skull. The crowd was beginning to shout. Ryan took another breath, perhaps his last, then reared back with both hands and boxed Mog's ears as hard as he could. Immediately, the man's grip loosened. Ryan gulped at the sweet, sweet air as it rushed into his open mouth and down into his needy lungs. But Mog didn't let go, so Ryan boxed his ears again. Mog stumbled and then finally released Ryan, putting his hands to his ears as if it might do something to ease the ringing pain. When Ryan hit the ground, another bolt of pain slashed through his body. He arose slowly, his eyes always on the big man. Mog was still stumbling, trying to keep his balance, when all the balancing mechanisms inside his head had been scrambled. But as the seconds passed, the giant was recovering, shaking off the pain and noise inside his head, and readying himself to fight again. Ryan knew he couldn't get in close to the man and survive. His only chance was lightning-fast attacks, darting in and striking a blow, then moving back just as quickly to a safe distance. And with such a tactic, Ryan had to choose a target that was most vulnerable, so his efforts would have the greatest effect. With that in mind, Ryan looked at Mog's dangling genitals and knew exactly what he had to do. Without another moment's hesitation, Ryan stepped forward and launched a kick into the soft flesh between the big man's legs. There was a satisfying smack of flesh on flesh, and then Ryan could feel his foot come up against the man's pelvic bone. After the kick was delivered, Ryan pulled back, only to see Mog double over in pain. Vomit and drool leaked out of the side of his mouth, and he seemed to be struggling to catch his breath. This was Ryan's chance to finish off the big man, but his earlier idea of removing the weapons from the ring had been slightly premature. Without a knife or sword, he'd be hard-pressed to chill the giant with just his bare hands. Mog had enough strength to brush Ryan aside if he tried to smash his head on the ground or tried to strangle him with a chokehold. He needed a weapon. Even a chain would be of some help. Ryan looked to the edge of the circle and had an idea. He'd thrown all of the weapons out of the circle so they couldn't be used against him. But what about the circle itself? Ryan stepped up to one of the posts that staked at the perimeter of the circle and undid the chain connected to it. Then he went two posts over and undid the chain there, leaving a single post with chains on either side of it. He pulled the post out of the ground, turned the post around, and held it by the pointed end, leaving the blunt end with the chains exposed. Then he spun the post over his head so centrifugal force would extend the chains to their full length. The post was 4 feet long, and the chains measured another 6, giving Ryan a reach of more than 10 feet. But more importantly, the chains were whipping around at lightning speed, and when they